Welcome to Unsanctimonious, the podcast where two irreverent pastors explore the Bible using the Revised Common Lectionary while doing their best to be unsanctimonious. What does that mean? Well, if the word sanctimonious means self-righteous, holier-than-thou, smug, falsely pious, pompous, self-satisfied, or prideful, we want to be the opposite of that. Your hosts are Jonathan Kleinsmith and the Reverend Mark Jardine. And even though we're both pastors, we won't pretend to have it all figured out. Spoiler alert, no pastor, theologian, or Bible scholar actually does. But we do believe that God is revealed in the reading of these holy words, and our hope is that by listening to this podcast, you might have an encounter with God as well. So sit back, relax, and let's dive into the world's all-time best-selling book and see how it might be speaking to us today. Hey guys, welcome to the Unsanctimonious Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Jonathan Kleinsmith, and with me as always is Pastor Reverend Mark Jardine. How's it going, Reverend?
It's going well, going good. Ready to delve into this Matthew text, and today we get to wrestle with some of the words of Jesus, which are beautiful gifts to us.
Today. I think we talked a little bit last time or a couple episodes ago about the so-called hard sayings of Jesus, and I think this one might be a little hard for us today too. So if you guys are new to the podcast, we hope that you will go to unsanctimonious.com where you can follow along with daily scripture readings from the Revised Common Lectionary, which is where we pull the text that we'll be talking about in our episodes each week. And so you can study these things on your own. You can gain new insights, and hopefully you can use the forum, be part of our studying community. But our goal is to bring life-giving, the life-giving word of God into your lives. And neither one of us claims to be the world's greatest Bible scholar, but on some level we do, you know, have professional degrees in that, and that is our calling in life. So hopefully as we have these conversations, God will reveal something that might be life-giving for you. So let's go ahead and jump into our scripture today. As Mark alluded to, it comes to us from Matthew chapter 11. Sometimes the lectionary will do this sort of thing where it'll read a few verses and skip a few verses, and then you'll go into another section and read those verses. Nothing to be worried about. It's just something they do to make the scriptures more digestible over a course of a 3-year reading. So you'll get the whole Bible, for the most part, but sometimes, there are a few verses here or there that they get through to fit thematically. So anyways, this scripture comes to us today from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, and then skips ahead to verses 25 through 30. We're going to be reading from the Common English Bible. It's a very easy to read translation. So here goes. Matthew 11. To what will I compare this generation? It is like a child sitting in the marketplace calling out to others, "We played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We sang a funeral song for you and you didn't mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' Yet the human one came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved to be right by her works." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have shown them to be babies." And shown them to babies, sorry. "Indeed, Father, this brings you happiness. My Father has handed all things over to me. No one knows the Son except the Father, and nobody knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. So, we generally approach these scriptures using the four question method. Those four questions are, what is the ancient problem that this scripture tries to address? What ancient solution does it offer for its contemporaneous audience? What modern problems might this scripture be speaking to today? And then what modern solutions does it offer us? So Mark, as you hear these scriptures, as you absorb the word of God and kind of mull over it and study it, what sticks out to you? What do you think the ancient problem is here that Jesus is trying to address?
Well, I think certainly in the first section there, the first four verses there, 16 through 19, I think he's dealing with the fact that people are not, many of the authorities anyway, especially, are not receiving his word, or for that matter, John the Baptist's word prior to him, very openly and willingly. They are, for lack of a better word, they're sort of cantankerous, might be a word to describe the reception they're receiving. And, you know, they talk about, you know, John, he was a madman or had a demon, and Jesus, well, he was just a glutton and a drunk, and he was glutton and drunks. And so, you know, anyway, so I think what we're hearing here is that those who were in authority and those who were in power certainly rejected both these individuals, these men and their teaching, as you know, trying to find a way to minimize it or just be contrary overall to the message that was coming to them.
Right. Well, and I think this scripture it brings up a phrase that we really haven't talked about much yet in this podcast, but it talks about the human one came eating and drinking. That's Jesus is referring to himself, and most translations will actually render that the Son of Man. Those scriptures are they're self-references by Jesus, but also he's referring to prophetic words of Isaiah, talking about this Son of Man. And it's important to remember that Jesus is 100% God, but also, in the Christian understanding, Jesus is 100% human being. So translators struggle with how to render that, right? And so Son of Man gets the point across. The CEB, the Common English Bible Translation, they render it human one, I think, in an effort to really get the idea across, but it can be kind of confusing to just read that out of the blue. When the human one came, well, aren't they all humans? You know, like, what does that mean? I agree with that assessment, right? Like, the religious folk, they didn't accept Jesus because he was partying, right? And according to them, he was merry. And they didn't accept John because he was too dour, right? So basically the point was that it doesn't matter what you do. Like, these people are rejecting truth no matter what the package looks like, right? Jesus came in, you know, the imagery that the ancient reader would have seen would, like, with wedding language, right? With this joyful experience of, like, hey, Kingdom of God is near. And John comes in kind of more like funeral language, right? Hey, the Kingdom of God is near, right? It's the same message. And it's rejected on both fronts. And so, you know, apparently it didn't matter for these ancient self-righteous people whether it was presented in one way or the other, it was going to be rejected.
Yeah, I think it was, you sort of continue as we move on into the 25th and verse and so on down on through this passage. You know, Jesus says, I praise the Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have shown them to babies. And, you know, it's as if what we come to is that the common people or the ordinary people in society got it, and the poor people got it. It was the intelligent and the affluent and those who were powerful in society and deemed to be wise by society that couldn't understand what was going on and couldn't get who Jesus was and what his message was, or John's message for that matter. And so all the way through this passage, it seems to be a lot of it's addressing this dynamic of those who Jesus, I guess, really was a threat to down the road, or maybe even at this point, because he was threatening the established religion of the day with what he was teaching. And that their response was is that he was a drunk and a glutton, and, you know, hung out with sinners and tax collectors of all things. And so that was how they sort of, I don't know how you'd say it exactly, but it's sort of how they handcuffed him to a degree, was saying that, you know, he's irrelevant to us. He's just a, you know, and John's a madman. So, you know, but the common people, on the other hand, they heard the message and they were like babies, if you will, because they didn't have all the higher learning and the power and all the things that came with the other folks, the high powerful religious folks in the culture.
Yeah, and that kind of reminds me of I've been listening to podcasts and reading a lot about revolutions, right? Like throughout time. Got to a section on the Russian Revolution, and it talks about, and I'm not promoting any of the ideals of the Russian Revolution, just to be clear on that one. But, you know, you had a lot of different, ideas that are floating around, right? And you have these groups of intellectuals that are kind of in their ivory towers that want to apply these social principles. And they had a real debate, you know, do we go to the peasants or do we just bypass them and get rid of the leadership and then let the peasants, like, find out about it later? Right. The idea was that the peasants were too dumb. The peasants weren't going to understand the social revolution that was needed, even though it was for their own good. It's really interesting listening to, like, the debates on both sides. But this is what Jesus does, if you want to talk about it, in terms of a revolutionary movement, is he offers his gospel to the poor. He offers his gospel to the peasants, to not the intelligentsia of his day, although certainly they were welcome too, but he offers this message to everybody, and they're the ones that seem to understand it. They're the ones that grasp onto it and get it, whereas these Sadducees and Pharisees, which are these religious groups that are operating in Judea at the time, the people that everyone would have said, those are holy people, those are righteous people, they're the ones that don't accept Jesus's message. And it doesn't matter how Jesus presents it, right? It doesn't matter if it's like John the Baptist coming in, in a really strict way where he's not drinking any alcohol, or he's being very righteous and he's baptizing people out in the river, and he's living like this lifestyle where he only wears like animal skins and eats locusts, right? He's being so not of this world that you can't stick anything to him and say he's doing anything wrong, right? And then Jesus comes, and Jesus himself is, you know, not like a partier type of person, but he hangs out with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes, and he turns water into wine. And this message is still off-putting, and, you know, like, it's off-putting no matter which way you do it. and the intelligentsia of Jesus's day, the people that should be getting it don't.
Right. And it's interesting. I was thinking about what you're saying there. And of course, Matthew is a gospel that is primarily written to, from a Jewish point of view, Jewish Christian point of view. And one of the interesting things there is that John was a law keeper. You know, he followed the law. He followed the drinking and the eating laws and, you know, did all those things that a good, quote unquote, Jew would have done in that day and time. And Jesus, on the other hand, came and he hung out with whoever and, you know, he hung out with unclean people as the Jewish Pharisees, the Pharisees would have identified it. And yet he wasn't, you know, so Jesus was probably the more revolutionary from the hierarchical viewpoint, but yet both were judged as, not worthy or not right or not good enough or not what they should have been to be able to carry the message that they actually both carried. And, there at the end of the 19th verse, there's a sentence says, "But wisdom is proved to be right by her works." And it seems what Jesus is saying there is, okay, you all judged us this way, but guess what? People went out into the wilderness chasing John down because he touched their hearts. Mm. The events have proven that John really was this prophet that came, and his word was changed men's hearts, changed men's and women's hearts. They came out into the wilderness to seek him. And then you look at Jesus's life, and of course, Jesus had this tremendous impact just while he was here on earth because people followed him. They wanted to hear him teach. You know, they went and sat on a hillside and heard the Sermon on the Mount, and just everywhere he went, there were people trying to get close to him, like the common ordinary people. And he changed their lives. And so I think what Jesus is sort of saying here is that, you know, you guys can criticize, you can downplay, you can do whatever, but in the end, the events of how this all plays out will prove who I was and who John was and who
we are. Yeah. And then you have this section at the end where he's talking about the yoke, right, that he offers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is really kind of a hard metaphor for us to understand in some ways, because most of us are not living in a rural agrarian, low technology society, and so we don't get the idea of a yoke. But a yoke is something that is used to carry things, right? Like, in ancient cultures, it's a large bar. It's kind of curved a lot of times, and you could hang like buckets or other things on it. And usually, you would use a yoke on a beast of burden, right? It's something that you would use to control them or to give them things to carry. But also people would use yokes. They would use it to carry things over long distances. And so when Jesus is saying that his yoke is light, he's really comparing that to the burdens that the religious folks are putting on people, right? Because we're talking about people coming to John and then later to Jesus. And their experience, this transformation and life change. And for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that's not enough, right? They want them to be keepers of the law, and not just the law, but at this point, the legalism has sort of set in, on these, Jewish, authority figures, right? Because they've developed not just the Torah, which we get from the Bible, the law of Moses, but they've actually come up with what they call a hedge around the Torah. These laws that keep you from breaking the laws, right? To make sure that you don't actually break the law, they're going to make another law to keep you from doing that, right? And so, already there are 600 plus commands in the Old Testament that would be apply to dietary laws or whatever. And then these guys have come in and they've made it even harder for the average person to be righteous. And what Jesus is saying is, my burden my yoke is easy and my burden is light, right? Like he's saying, listen, let me take care of the righteousness part and you just reconnect with God.
Right. Yeah, you know, I think I ran across in the Greek, the word my yoke is easy is, I believe, Christos, and which means well-fitting. And if you think about that, you know, there's one legend out there that Jesus, in those years between his birth and the early narrative at the temple and the time he comes, you know, actually begins to preach and teach and call his disciples, he may have been a maker of yokes, actually, in the carpenter shop. And one thing we know from that time is that every yoke was made to fit the individual animal that it was going to carry. In other words, you didn't just, it wasn't like, you know, you had the same yoke for every animal and you just went to the store and picked up a yoke. You had, they were custom made to fit the animal and probably for the humans as well. And so that would make the yokes well fitting and not just, you know, like, you know, standard across the board, sort of like the Jewish law. If you think about the Jewish law, it was standardized all across the board.
Right.
Okay. One size fit all for the deal. And what Jesus is saying here is, yes, the yoke and the burden is light. My burden is light because the yoke is made, a yoke is made to fit you, and you're not forced to fit into the mold of the yoke, if that makes sense. And so, anyway, with that in mind, it sort of changes sort of how I hear that to some degree, because now I hear that Jesus makes this yoke for us that is fit to us because Jesus knows us and has measured us, quote unquote. And so whatever burdens, when we're walking in the light of Jesus, I think what he's telling the people there, the folks he was talking to, is, you know, when you walk with me, I will make a yoke that will fit you and what you need to do to be a faithful disciple. And it will be different for every one of you. So this one-size-fits-all law that the Pharisees are forcing down on you isn't going to work. And that's not the way I work anyway. And it hasn't worked for you for however long, however many centuries. And so I come and I make a yoke for you that will fit you. And I'll give you the appropriate burdens to carry so that when you carry those burdens with this yoke that fits you, you will not be under duress in that time.
Wow, that's a cool insight, which does bring us to ancient solution, right?
Yes, I jumped ahead.
No, that's the kind of segues right in. And I think for me, the solution that Christ offers is in verse 28, right? Come to me. Come to me. Those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, right? That's the start of this. You take up this yoke Jesus offers, but it starts with this invitation from Jesus to come to him.
Right.
And I think that when I think of ancient historical figures that are people of note and people of power, I don't think of them as being approachable. I think this might have been for people in Jesus' time to hear him say, come to me, must have been just different, like not expected. And we see this in other places, right? Jesus tells let the children come to me, right? Like people who had no value in ancient society, Jesus sees and notices and calls to him. And I think that would have been revolutionary.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, come to me, all you who struggle hard and carry heavy loads, and I will give you rest.
Right.
You know, yeah, he was approachable, and you know, and John was approachable for that matter out in the wilderness, and they didn't really Jesus didn't like ever sort of quote unquote hobnob with the powerful. Right. They sought him out to question him most of the time. But who he chose to hang out with was truly the ordinary people of the day, and he invited them to him. He was never surrounded by an entourage to protect him, even though the disciples did try that once, and he told them, "No, let the children come to me." So anyway, yeah, and you know, it's a heavy load. This law, the pressure as laborers for the hierarchy. All those things were a heavy load on the ordinary people.
And, yeah.
To give them a different way of being.
Which brings us to the modern problem. How does this scripture speaking to us today?
You know, it's I think it talks to us about sometimes even our attitudes and things. You know, sometimes we become sort of contrary, and we have to somewhat trust sometimes that we're not the ultimate judge in situations. And sometimes, you know, I say we talked about this, I think, before, that the long view of life, and I think up there, you know, when the wisdom is proven by the right be right by her works, that's a reference to, you know, that long view that wisdom plays out over time. Everything works over time. It's not in the immediacy as much as we want it to be in the immediacy. And we make really hard judgments in this day and time really fast about things. And I think the other thing in this for us as we look at a problem is that sometimes we do carry really heavy loads, mm-hmm. all of us do, and it can be from working or raising children or a combination of all that, or dealing with elderly parents, or just from life itself, our work, whatever it is, and trying to be aware that we're under burdens. Those people back in Jesus' day were under burdens and heavy loads. That has not changed in 2,000 years. Maybe the loads have looked a little different, but it's still the reality is still the same. And and I also think that, you know, sometimes we have to be careful that we don't overanalyze situations, mm-hmm. and that we somewhat trust and we listen with our hearts, because we can be like the Pharisees and Sadducees just as well, and nitpicked everything to the point that nothing seems to be of worth.
Right.
So anyway, I don't know. Those are some things I would just hit me off the top of my head. So.
I think they're spot on. I think that you nail it. I also think, I think about this, I'm kind of reflecting on this, God, the wise or the people that we would think are wise are not getting it. And the word that it uses, for the ones that get it, is nepioi, infants, basically, mm. in the Greek. I think about our culture's tendency to make not make everyone an expert, but make everyone dependent on experts, right? I think about just how much of our metropolitan society is built on specialization, right? Like I grew up in a small town in another age, right, where I could play every sport and do every activity at school, and that was okay, right? That was expected. Nowadays, by the time you're in fifth or sixth grade, you are either a band kid or a sport of some kind kid or a drama kid, and that's all you do, right? We're a we're an expert-laden society. And this is even true, I think, unfortunately, in the church. You know, you and I, as pastors, we're seen as experts, which we technically are. There's this tendency to think that that means we're the ones that are supposed to be doing all the ministry of the church, or that we're the ones that are supposed to have all the answers about God. And the truth is, if we take Jesus at his word, then God is revealing things to the non-experts, right? Like God has something to say to everybody. And that's, you know, Martin Luther, who believed in the priesthood of all believers, that's a radical priesthood of all believers right there, to believe that God is revealing things to everyone we might not think has a thing to say. And God's revealed those things to infants. And a lot of times us wise men in our ivory towers don't have the answers, right? I think that's a word for us as modern believers, especially that call to action, right? Like, we're supposed to be in ministry, but also that call to listen to God's guidance. Like, we can listen to God. We don't actually need an intermediary. That's not a part of our faith.
Right. Yeah. You know, everyone has access. And, you know, I think that's the thing, you know, when you get down to verse 28 again, come to me. He said that to everyone. And he still says that today to us, that, you know, he is accessible to everyone and anyone. And, you know, that was radical in that day and time. It's even radical in our time. That we can come to Jesus and lay our struggles and those burdens we're carrying on down. And, you know, he'll give us a yoke that will fit us. And, you know, we can move forward with that. But, you know, it's hard, because you're right. There is this, and we have this periphery of knowledge now. Or information, I'm not going to say it's knowledge, but information out there.
Right.
And that's tricky to deal with, because sometimes you just feel like you're bombarded with all this information. I don't know about you, but during this last few months, it's like there's information on information on it, and none of the information matches up. So,
right.
So even the information can become burdensome in that.
Yeah. Well, it's like Abraham Lincoln said, 100% of the things you hear on the internet are true.
Yes, exactly. Get away.
That's kind of where we're at. We have a lot of information, but not a lot of wisdom.
Right.
And, you know, that can be its own burden. That can be life draining in its scope. And yet in the midst of it all, Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So let's talk about the solution. What is Jesus offering us today?
Well, I think, you know, he's offering us rest, that we can stop. I think there's a tremendous merit in our culture today to stopping for just a little bit and catching our breath. You know, I'm not saying we should turn off the podcast, but I'm just saying, you know, back away from all this stuff for a little while. Just breathe.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what Jesus is saying, is I'll give you rest. Just trust in me. Let go of all this burden and all this stuff for just 30 minutes, maybe even. And then, when we trust in Jesus, he makes a yoke that fits us, so that as we walk with him, then the yoke is easy and the burden is light, because we are working with his yoke that he's placed upon us, not the world yoke, not all the others. And I love it when Jesus says, I am gentle and humble. And, you know, Jesus was calling us, I think, to experience him in his gentleness, his humbleness, because he dealt with humble people, and he dealt with him in a gentle way. I mean, he really didn't have harsh words for the ordinary people of the day and time. His words were gentle and humble. The words that were hard and tough were usually the words he spoke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so I think resting in him, trusting in him, and trying to walk with his yoke on us, as opposed to the yoke that everything else wants us to fit into.
Yeah.
And that's hard. It's hard, in a way, to figure that out. I think it's once you, you know, and I think we all struggle with that. I don't think, I'm not sure people come to this magical, mystical point when that yoke, they can carry that yoke all the time perfectly and not grab the yoke of the culture from time to time and,
right,
and deal with that.
I think of the psalm, right? Be still and know that I am God, right? Right. Like, that is not easy. Sure. I don't know the last time you had time to be still was. And yet that's what God is calling us to, right? This is what Christ is calling us to. Like, we are so used to, like, we are a pick yourself up by your bootstraps culture, right? And to rest in Jesus, to give Jesus our burden is not, it's counterintuitive, to say the least. But that's what Jesus calls us to. And it doesn't mean we lose responsibility, or it doesn't mean we don't take life seriously. It's not saying that. It's just saying Jesus can carry those burdens better than we can. You switch it out for a lighter yoke. And when it comes to following Jesus, when it comes to being a righteous person, like, adding layers of rules is not the, it's not the key. It's not the thing that works. It's trusting Jesus.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, I think for us, in this day and time, it is, it should be reassuring. I mean, we've sort of skipped over verse 27, that God handed all things over to Jesus. In other words, when that happened, suddenly this one who'd walk this earth, the one who says that he will, you know, help us carry our burdens, make a yoke that'll fit us, this one is now in charge. And no one's going to come to the Father except through him now. And so he'll give you what you need to carry for that day. And he will help you to find that rest. And if you rest in him, you'll be resting in the Father as well. And anyway, I think that's a word of assurance there that, you know, because I'm sure in the culture he was in, preach saying these words, you know, he didn't have a lot of relevance as far as the powers that be. It was all God, you know. And what he's saying here is really, once again, radical. It's radical for us to hear, too, is that he has, all things have been handed over to him. And now this is the way of life that now is laid out before you, the way to an abundant and a joyful life is laid out through Jesus, and not through the harshness of the law or in the lawmakers, or for those who now have sort of manipulated what God gave us as 10 commandments into 7,595 commandments. The goodness of God is found in Jesus, and he calls you to rest in him and trust in that.
Wow.
That is the source of living water.
Yeah, I think that is a perfect place for us to end today. So thanks, guys, for listening to the podcast. You can find more resources, like we said, at unsanctimonious.com. Please join us in those daily scripture readings. I promise you it will be life-giving. But in the meantime, those of you who are listening and you are burdened and you are beat down and you are on your last straw, our prayer for you today is that you would find rest, that you would give those burdens over to Jesus, because his yoke is light and it is fitted perfectly for you. Thanks, guys. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.